Most of us have had the experience of being given the silent treatment by a spouse, or more likely a brother or sister. Huh? One of my sisters, the one that died 4 years ago, his birthday is today. I was thinking we went through periods like this where we didn't call for a while over misunderstandings and things. And it looks like Jesus is giving somebody the silent treatment here. And it should sound familiar. If you prayed at any length of time and had a relationship with Christ, God does withdraw from us so that we must seek him. And that's part of our lives. The gospel is extremely important. I remember working for American Airlines. I had a number of jobs there besides the luggage. The luggage is the most interesting stories. But the last job I had was actually the best of the bunch. I had the worst seniority in that because all the really old people were there, and the ones in their 50s, you know. Well, I thought they were old at the time, but we used to bump people, you know, when the flights would have an equipment change at the last minute. Sometimes some people had to go. So you'd get them on the phone and try to bribe them off, or if not, pry them off. I could go on with stories about that. That took a certain amount of skill. But there was a guy that worked there that had gotten the job before I did. When I applied first, I didn't get it right away. I'm still in touch with that supervisor. She's been following my career ever since then. She was a really good supervisor, a good model, role model. But anyway, I got this job. I went over to this individual who I did not know at all to ask him a question. And he just sat there typing on the computer, stood there, didn't answer me. He had a headset. I thought he's on the phone. I asked again. I asked five times. The fifth time, he smirked, and he said nothing. He was happy to have hurt me, and I don't know why. That was 30 years ago, and it still bugs me. You think he's going to see that in his life review? But see, I have to forgive him because I've got a life review coming myself. I have to admit, I've never done something like that, but I'm sure, you know how it is with human beings. But I think of him, this is kind of what God is doing, you know, busy typing away, or in Jesus' case, eating away, looking the other way, ignoring this woman. Another thing that it reminds me of is going into the seminary. I had more signs. I've only shared a few here over the years. It was unbelievable what the Lord did to get me to do this, because I'm sure I didn't have any talent for it, you know. And so I went to the vocation director's assistant in L.A., where I started out, was Sister Kathy Bryant. And she got so frustrated with me. She said, you've had so many signs, more than anybody else, you can't get off the fence. So she sent me this big thing in the mail. It was this long and this wide, and it said, this is a sign. I accidentally ran into her last October on the way to France. Accidentally, I know somebody that brought me over there and didn't tell me. She said, oh, I knew one of my guys was coming. She said, I was praying it wasn't one of the ones I rejected, you know, but it was me. So she said, remember the sign I gave you? But after I got in the seminary, it was like the phone went dead. Nobody was home. God was completely absent for a couple of years. You know, it's like, well, okay, you got me where you wanted me, and now the line goes dead. See, it's part of the human condition that God comes in and out like the tide, in a way. The eclipse is a good example of this. We're going to have a real experience of the best that nature can offer us, and to me, it's a sign of God's presence. That's my opinion. But then it will go away, and we'll have to live in faith again, that there really is a corona of the sun. Tomorrow we will see what nobody can see without, not even in space, without an eclipse. Nowhere in the solar system, but here. Tomorrow. Yet, we have to live in faith after we see it, because you can't see it otherwise. Jesus, this woman, Jesus is on the lam. He's up in Lebanon, today, what we call Lebanon today. Tyre and Sidon is pagan. This woman's a Canaanite. Jews hated Canaanites. They were the people that were in the land before the Jews came in under Moses. So she's part of the original inhabitants of the land. She feels it all belongs to her. See, it's that kind of a thing that's still going on there, all these thousands of years later. So Jews called them dogs. So Jesus doesn't want to have any more groupies coming along trying to get healed. He wants to get away from this. He's going to his death. He wants some time alone with the disciples to get them ready. And here she comes. My daughter's got a demon. She's not taking no for an answer. And what's Jesus doing? He hears it. So the disciples get sick of this. And you can hear this. Send her away. She's bugging the heck out of us. And then Jesus says to them in her earshot, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's not talking to her, but she's listening. And this tells us that when God doesn't answer us right away, what has he already said to me? What did the church say? What did the scriptures say? When has he spoken to me? Maybe I don't need anything else. Maybe I've got my answer. Maybe there's a reason God is waiting. She understands that there's something at work here. Jesus is playing with her, and she picks up on this. She has perseverance, and she's got a daughter. That daughter is going to get help. She loves her daughter, so she comes in. Now she comes in, and she prostrates herself, and she calls him. First, she calls him Son of David, which in itself is remarkable from a Canaanite. Then she says, she does him homage like the wise men in Matthew's gospel, and she says, Lord, Lord, help me. An act of faith. Lord, help me. And then Jesus finally talks to her. And it appears to be a bit insulting. We don't give the children's food to the dogs. Well, Jews always called these people dogs. That was just slang for a Canaanite. But Jesus doesn't use the word of a street dog, which is what they would use. He calls her a pet. Basically, he said, it's not right to give the poodles food to the... It's not right to give... What did he say? It is not right to give the food... That's why I'm standing here, not in front. It is not right to take the food of the children and give it to the poodle, your house pet. See, the difference there, Jesus didn't use a derogatory word. Last night I was preaching, and I said that very line, and a stray dog went walking by outside the window there. So, see, well, I thought it was the Lord. I see you all weren't impressed. Are you looking for bigger signs than that? You're not going to get it. Listen, I've had a long time in this. That was a sign from God. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's all I needed. He sent a little stray dog right at the right moment. I said, you know, that's exactly how God operates. And you got to get attuned to it. He's not going to part the heavens, except tomorrow. That's a funny time to say that. He's not going to part the heavens and say, here I am. He wants us to learn the subtleties while we're here on earth. That's what we're here for. That's why he withholds his speech from us, so that we will seek him, persevere, learn to grow in love. This woman is not a Jew. She has to learn faith. He's pulling faith out of her. He's making her persevere. She loves her daughter, and Jesus really loves this. He ends up giving her one of the biggest compliments he gave anybody in the New Testament. Finally, she says, she hears this comment. She knows she's got it. She knows she's got it. When he calls her a pet, she says, well, even the pets get the leftovers that drop off the table. And he says to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. You know, he was so grateful that she persevered. And so the woman has a sense of humor. She perseveres. She loves. She doesn't take no for an answer. And she knows she's being heard. We go through this same thing. Jesus is not like my friend from 30 years ago that was being malicious. He's not giving us the silent treatment directly. But these stories that we hear in this gospel, these gospels are really stories about our journey with Christ, because Christ is going to treat us in just the same way. That's why it's so critical that we understand. We've heard this so often, but have we lived it? You know, do I persevere in prayer? Or when God appears not to be listening, do I walk away? Do I understand that God is eliciting faith from me, that he really enjoys a good sense of humor, that he has a purpose for everything? If I make you wait, the Lord says, it's because there is a fruit yet to be pulled out from this. I will make it perfect for you one day. You know, we have to wait for the answers. I've had a lot of questions myself lately about God's timing and things, but he has an answer for us, but we sometimes can't hear it yet. We have to wait. This woman had to wait quite a while and put up with the disciples that wanted to get rid of her, but she wasn't taking no for an answer, and neither are we. God will be there for us. It's his timing, not ours. We want God to say to us on the last day of our lives, O woman, O man, great is your faith.